For the word of the Lord, our God, is living and active, sharper than any two-edged, double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account.
If you were in Bible class this morning, you probably have already read this passage, and you know that it's a familiar one to us, the two-edged sword part especially. Here the writer of Hebrews is kind of changed from what he was doing at the beginning of this chapter to showing us another way that we have of making sure that we enter into the rest of God. And he talks about the Word of God. Everyone here knows what the Word of God is. We have Bibles we brought in here with us. We've read from the Scripture a couple of times already in this service. Most of us love the Word of God. Most of us are familiar at least with some of it. But here he's telling us exactly how important it is to us. And he tells us by explaining to us the very nature of the Word and the use of the Word. Nothing could be more relevant to us than to find out what the Word of God is. Today, some people believe that the Bible is so old that it can't possibly be relevant. I mean, after all, we have instant communication and we can know about a storm a long way off and or a famine in another place or even a crime in another country. And to have something that was written thousands of years ago, it seems to be irrelevant. I've even heard people talk about it's dead. It's an old word. It's a dead old word. And yet when the writer of Hebrews tells us this, he tells us the very first thing he says is the Word of God is living. The reason it's living is because God is alive. The reason it's living is because it's relevant to us today. Maybe we should back up a second and think about the Word of God is described in three different ways in the Scripture. The Word of God is sometimes referring to the spoken Word of God. In the beginning, God spoke, and light became, and the universe appeared. And when we think of the spoken Word of God, we think about in the wilderness when God would speak, and mountains would tremble, and God would speak against the enemies, and the enemy would be destroyed. We think of the power, and the not only the creative power, but the sheer magnitude and the power of a word coming forth from a living God who has all power and knows everything, is everywhere, is eternal. This spoken word of God shows up from time to time. We've heard it at the burning bush. We've heard of it at other places where God would actually speak out loud to people. Sometimes it's also referring to the written word of God, where maybe Isaiah heard the voice of God and he was told to write this down. And the written Word of God is especially important to us because it allows us to have access to words we've never heard with our own ear. It allows us to know what the mind of God is and the will of God is. In John chapter 1, we're introduced to another way the word is used, and when it's describing Jesus. John tells us in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He later says that nothing was made without Him, and everything that was made, He was in on it. And we learn that that Word became flesh and dwelt among us, in verse 14, so we now know that He's describing Jesus. Some people have categorized Him and said we have the spoken Word of God, the written Word of God, and the incarnate Word of God, where God becomes flesh and dwells among us. Each of these manifestations of the Word of God are meant so that we will know more about God and we'll know what He wants us to know. This passage, he's describing for us the absolute significance of it. When he tells us the Word of God is living, it's not an old dead letter, it's relevant. There's nothing more relevant for us to know. I know a lot of things that aren't relevant. I like to read, and I like to read widely, and so a lot of things I read, I wonder, why am I reading this? Once I read how to make a clay pot, I learned where you go to look for the clay and what you do. You know, you actually wash it, and I thought, isn't that something? You wash dirt, but there you are. But and all that you do, and I have no intention of ever making a clay pot, and so this is just cluttering up a big chunk of my brain, that knowledge. I know everybody that lived on Gilligan's Island. I don't know why, but they're in there and they won't leave. Sometimes I even sing the little song in my mind. I need that space, but it's in there. I know my grandmother's phone number. She's been dead for 35 years, but it's Taylor 40859 if you want to call her. Lots of stuff we know that's of no value to us anymore. And it seems to be crowding out the stuff that is. But the Word of God does not fall in that category because it's living. And that means it's relevant. That means it's actually significant to know. Is it important to know God? If I want to live, it is. Is it important to know God's Word? If I want to get out of this world alive, it is. Is it important to know the rules of God and the nature of God and the revelation of God? If I want to be a better person, it is. It's so relevant. You could know only the Word of God and nothing else, and you'll do fine. And you can know everything else and not know the Word of God, and you will fail. That's how relevant it is and how significant it is. And this, God tells us, the Holy Spirit here tells us the Word of God is alive. And then to make sure we know what alive means or living, he said it's active. If you look at the ingredients, maybe in your medicine, you'll see there's some ingredients that are called active ingredients. That means they actually do something. The other makes the pill big enough that you can find it. They're there. Maybe they're binders. Maybe there's something to keep it from spoiling. But what you're interested in is the active part, isn't it, you know? He said the Word of God is active. That means it does something. Let me tell you, we love mission work here. Everywhere the Word of God is preached, poor people are helped. Old people are taken care of. Everywhere the Word of God is preached, slaves are set free. Everywhere that God is preached, and the Word of God is preached, orphans are tended to. Everywhere that God preached, law is established. Everywhere the Word of God is presented, things happen. Even if it doesn't happen to the extent of saving everyone's soul, it happens. It's the most significant thing that can happen because it's not only alive, it's active. It changes your life. It changes your community. It'll change your home. It gives future and hope to us. It's active. It actually does something. Most of us are familiar with the Word of God, but maybe we haven't looked at the active ingredients in it. He says the part that's always significant here. He said, and sharper than any two-edged sword. There is another place, the Bible or the Word of God, is called the sword of truth. But I want you to not think of a sword right now. He's using sword here because it was a very familiar, sharp instrument. And the sharper the sword, the deadlier the sword. But I want you to think, let's just take a little liberty here and think scalpel, okay? The sharper the scalpel, the more valuable it is. The sharper the scalpel, the more delicate the surgery can be. And the whole purpose of a scalpel is to cut. And if it's sharp enough, the cut doesn't hurt you very much. And if it's sharp enough, you can do more, a surgeon can do more with it. Well, what is it that they do with it? He said, it's able to divide. It's able to get down where the trouble is. I met an old surgeon, Patsy and I did, and at one of these Pan-American lectures. He was almost 90, I believe. The hospital where he had worked and at one time owned part of it wouldn't let him operate anymore because he was so old. But he said, look at this, and he'd hold his hand out, steady as a rock, he would say. He was a hoot, you know, fun to be around. So he decided that he would just go on medical missions, and so he would take a bunch of young surgeons to Africa, and they would go someplace, and they would set up a hospital. And the young guys, he was telling me one day, he said, they have a hard time with this because they said, how do we diagnose anything? We don't have one of those sonar deals that they use. I can't remember what they call that. Somebody might tell me afterwards. We don't have one of those. We don't have an X-ray. We don't have an MRI. We don't have a CAT scan. So how are we going to know what's really wrong? And he says, well, we don't have ultrasound. That's the word I was looking for. We don't have X-rays. We don't have those things. So what we're going to do is we're going to go in there and look around. And he says, you know how to do that, don't you? Because you see, with the X-rays and the MRIs, and I'm way out of my depth here, but no matter how good they are, you're not really looking at the tumor or the kidney. You're looking at an image. You're looking at a reflection. You're looking at what vibrations do, or you're looking at what radiation does. It's like the negative of a picture or a picture. You're not really looking at your grandfather. You're looking at an image of him. But when a scalpel is used and you go in there, you're looking at that kidney or you're looking at that tumor. The Word of God does that. The Word of God opens us up. The Word of God makes us bare. The Word of God gets right down to where we are. And it goes deeper than we notice because there's a lot about us we don't notice with ourselves. We know this guy's really nice and this guy's funny and this guy prays a great prayer. But the Word of God, if you let it, will open you up like a skilled surgeon would, right down to your very heart. And it'll open it up and you'll see. Paul said, I found out because of the Word of God, I found out that covetousness is a sin. And I didn't even know I was covetous before that. What other things have been uncovered in your life? The Word of God, it's amazing. And depending on how good the surgeon is, how amazing it can be. But even with us, it makes it possible for us to know what's going on. Not a shadow, not an image, not a lump that we're feeling of from the outside of us, but the very organ, the very nature of your heart, the very fact of who you are. And with the Word of God, we cut in there and we look around. The Word of God does that. It opens us up. It reveals. It also reveals the mind of God to us as it opens our mind of our prejudices and their preconceived ideas and the hardness that we have. It opens up our mind. Changing the illustration, if we were going to plant a crop on a hard piece of ground, the first thing we have to do is open it up, don't we? We have to go in there and break it up. We move the rocks out. We haul off the asphalt or whatever is there, and we get down to where the soil is, and then something will grow. Well, the Word of God does that. It breaks through our hardness. It opens us up so that we are able to receive the Word of God. What happened when Peter led the other apostles in that first sermon? What did they say? They were cut to the heart. The Word of God does that. Have you ever felt it? There's some scripture that when you hear it, you always kind of hurt a little, don't you? Sometimes it's because of who you are. Sometimes it's because of who you were. And sometimes it's because of who you would like to be. But the Word of God does that for us. The Word of God takes care of that old grandfather image that we have of God, and it shows us who He is, the sovereign King of kings, the creator of the universe, the one who made me and made you, the one, He says at the end of this passage, with whom we have to do. It's an amazing thing that the Word of God does, and it does it like that scaffold moves, that gets between the joints and the marrow and everything, and even says, and no creature is hidden, and all is laid bare. I wouldn't know what to look for, but a skilled surgeon would, and where to look. David said that in Psalms 139 when he said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." The Lord, the living Word, our Lord Jesus, the incarnate Word, is more than a surgeon looking for a cancer in our heart. He is also our creator and our designer. And nothing is hidden because He made you. And He knows everything that's there already. He already knows. And the last words of this passage says, and He is the one that will also judge us, with whom we have to do. David, a long time ago, said in Psalms 51, verse 10 through 12, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Cast me not away from Thy presence, and take not Thy Holy Spirit from me." Sounds like surgery, doesn't it? Then he says, "Restore to me the joy of Thy salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit." So if the incarnate Word knows, and the Creator knows, why is He searching? It's because I need to know. I need to know what I need to improve on. I need to know what I need to put off, as Paul would say, and what I need to put on, as he would say. I need to see sin that's in my heart, and I need to learn to hate it. There are things that we once thought were good, and now we know they're not. Sin is like that. Sin is that. I need to know where to stand and what to do, and I need to embrace the restoration that this great surgeon and creator is wanting to do with me. So how do I do that? How do I do that? Well, one, we have to understand what the Word is. And we have to... It's not a trinket that we have. There's a whole pile of them right there. Does that make us closer to God, that we have a pile of Bibles on the front row here? Does it do the work that it's supposed to do because you have one in your hand? Does it do what it's supposed to do because you read it occasionally? It should. It might. It's trying to. But we have to embrace this idea. We have to embrace this idea that the Word of God is it. It is His revelation to us. It is alive and it is active, and it will open you up and it will point you in the right direction. It is a light to your feet and a guide to your path. It is God's Word to us, His creatures. And sometimes we make a mistake that because we have a good storehouse full of seed that we're good farmers, but we don't plant it. And sometimes we think that we're doing a good job when we carry it around, or we read about it, and sometimes I have to say, "Wait, Paul, you've read 6 books on this, but you haven't read this scripture." God will give you a lot of insight into those commentaries if you'll let Him. And it's the Word of God that is living and active. I love this church. You read the Bible all the time. It's time for us to be the living sacrifice that willingly gets on the altar and allows the priest, that's the very next verses, he's going to talk about this great high priest, to do his work, which is going to involve cutting. We need to be like the vine that doesn't resist the vine keeper when he comes, because he's going to be doing some cutting, because we know we're better off with the surgery of God than we are without it. We need to quit resisting him. We need to embrace the active ingredients in the scripture. Sometimes we settle for the stories. Sometimes we settle for the slogans. Sometimes we settle for the doctrines we like. Sometimes we settle for the proof texts. And many times we avoid the surgery. We avoid the most beneficial thing that God's Word can do for us, is to say, have your own way with me. What did David say? He said, not only created me a new heart, he says, you have my permission. Search me. Open me up. Root out that root of bitterness that's in there and get it out of there. Do that for me. Because we won't do it for ourselves. And when we feel that cut in the heart, we have one more choice we can make. We can resist that too. Stephen preached a very similar sermon a little later in the book of Acts. And when he finished, they were cut in the heart. But instead of saying, search me and try me and measure me and use me and what must I do to be saved, they clenched their fists, they gritted their teeth, and they killed the preacher. They didn't want to hear the Word of God, and they weren't going to hear the Word of God. They stopped their ears. I don't know if they were doing this. Kids do it sometime. When you get old enough, you can just turn the little knob on that hearing aid and you don't have to hear it. You can do that if you want to. But when you're cut in the heart, recognize it for what it is. If it's the Word of God that's doing it, let Him have His way with you. I know there's some of us here that know the active ingredients of the Word of God are working against what you've been doing. I know that. And I know that we've been keep covering up and hiding the things that aren't right in our heart. It's time. This could be a great day. This could be the day that we no longer fear God. We will face Him someday. And instead of being our judge, He could be our Savior who has come to rescue you. Won't you please, won't you come to Him while we stand and sing.